What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 195 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We're coming to you on a Sunday evening, a little bit later than we normally do. Kit Kutcher, of course, went on a wonderful camping trip on Thursday night, so we're a little bit delayed, but that is okay. It is not going to be a long episode this week, but we are going to have a decent bit to talk about because they finally told us what sandbox changes they're going to be making in Season 13. So we're going to be going over all those sandbox changes, and we're going to be breaking them down, saying what we like, what we don't like, what we're looking forward to, everything like that. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcher. And how are you doing, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I'm of two minds. I am very sorry that we're delayed. I agreed to go on a camping trip with our homeschooling neighbors. We've been homeschooling our daughter during the pandemic, as I've talked about in the past, and everything got booked, everything got planned, everyone was excited, and then I was sitting in bed and I was just like, oh, shit, I'm on a weekly podcast. So that happened. I haven't even read the TWAB. I'm going to be doing this one totally live, but I'm very excited about it. I did get some Destiny in this afternoon, got a few strikes run, hung out with team player and training from Discord, and I'm looking forward to this episode right now because it sounds like we've got, you know, I went away and I came back and there was like actually news that I missed, and that's not the case every week, so that's exciting.
No one expected it. No one expected it at all, and if you went away and came back, it was like the entire Destiny Twitter sphere was basically on fire and burning down. It was the epitome of that walking away and coming back with pizza and walking to the apartment and everything's on fire, Jim.
Yeah.
It was the epitome of that. I am not as furious as I thought I was going to be. So someone actually tagged me in the TWAB on Twitter and was like, you know, said something along the lines of like the exact opposite of what you were looking for in weapon balance. And so I went into it like, oh, those motherfuckers are destroying everything. Like they're nerfing everything. It wasn't that bad. Right. So it's not what I would have done, but on the whole, I actually don't think it's as bad as the community is making it out to be, specifically the mouse and keyboard players. But yeah, I also play controller, so it's also, yeah, it is what it is. You know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. We have housekeeping to do. No Patreon-related news this week, but for some reason, this was just the week for podcast reviews. I think we've got 6 or 7 podcast reviews we got to read out. So if you're ready, I say we hop right into the housekeeping so that we can get to the sandbox stuff in a timely manner.
I say we do it. Let's jump right in.
All right. The first podcast review is from Padster from Great Britain. It says a must for all Destiny players, 5 stars. It says what these guys don't know about weapons isn't worth knowing, and they test weapons and roles to destruction so that they can give you the best information on what weapons work with which roles. Not only that, they talk about interesting builds and loadouts that synergize perfectly. You will learn something new every show that improves your game. They not only talk about the roles that work best for top-tier players, but break them all down so you can decide what works best for you. I can't recommend this enough. Now, if they could only fix my terrible aim. Thank you very much, Pastor. We appreciate that. Unfortunately, not a ton we can do about your aim. I would just have to say, you know, if you want to work on it, just go shoot some dregs, right? What did I say worked best for my aim, right? Is you use perks that trigger on headshots, on crits. Firefly, triple tap, Hawkmoon, symmetry, right? Use anything that triggers on a crit, and that will help your aim. That's what I will say. That's my one tip to help you out there, Padster.
I appreciate that review and the sentiment about aim as well. I wish there was something that we could do, but there's not. My one tip would be try running strikes with like a scout rifle and then 2 sniper rifles, like heavy sniper, special sniper. Just force yourself to suffer if you miss those crits. You know, you don't have to go do a nightfall or anything crazy. Just run a regular strike, but force yourself to land those crits. It helps over time.
That is actually a good thing to do. And when you go into strikes, like you have to tell yourself, like, I'm only going for crits. Like at the end of the strike, I want to see my percentage of kills that were critical be extraordinarily high. Like use your PvP loadout or use your hardest PvP weapons in a strike.
Yeah.
Use not like a shotgun. Like a shock using a shotgun and a strike is not going to help you that much. But like if you use a hand cannon as your primary in PvP, take the hand cannon into a strike and say that like I want 9 out of 10 kills that I get with this hand cannon to be crits. Right. And that will at least help you start to get the feel. Of course, it's not, you know, exactly like it would be if you were in PvP. But, you know, if I really do need to warm up, like that's what I'll do. Like I'll go run around and I'll run a couple of strikes, not nightfalls, and just use my PvP loadout in the strikes. And I'll just make it a challenge to get as many crit kills as I can.
Yeah, that's absolutely a great tip there. Well, I understand we have a few reviews to get through. So what's next?
Amazing in substance and depth. This is from Flint from the United States. He says, 5 stars. As a Destiny hobbyist, I listen to multiple Destiny-related podcasts every week. Destiny Massive Breakdowns is a highlight amongst a strong collection of podcasts. The passion of the host is second only to their in-depth knowledge of perks, plays, and player prowess. Well done and good job. Thank you very much, Flint, and good job on that review. I really appreciate that.
That was well written. I appreciate that.
Next up, we've got Essential Podcast for Any Destiny 2 Player, 5 stars. This one is from Eric the Cheat from the United States. It says, this podcast is essential listening for any Destiny 2 player who wants to dive deeper into the game. The hosts, Mercules and Kate Kutcher, are legends in the Destiny community for providing detailed reviews and guidance for nearly every weapon and mechanic in the game. Whether you're looking to take your gameplay to the next level or just need some guidance on what weapons to clean out of your vault, this podcast is the information and commentary you're looking for. You know, I appreciate you calling us legends. I don't know that we are legends in the community, but I appreciate you saying that. It makes me feel good.
You know, if enough people start saying it at some point, it just becomes true.
That is the way it works. Fake it till you make it.
That's right.
So this next podcast is a throwback. He actually says good podcast, not great podcast. He says good podcast. 5 stars.
Okay.
This is from Supernova from the US. He says, this podcast gave me ED. So we cured one guy's ED, and then a second guy unfortunately got ED from listening to the podcast. So I feel like that's a net wash, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, originally we were a miracle cure, but now we're also causing it. So, you know, good luck to you guys. All right, then we've got My Kind of Nerds, 5 stars. This is from Brandon the Bard from the United States. He says, pound for pound, the most accurate and research info you need if you're always thinking about Destiny and Sandbox. Also, quality Star Wars opinions and great insight into carpentry.
Hey.
So we got those bonuses. And of course, perfect because tonight is also a Star Wars episode night. We're going to be talking about A New Hope after we're done with this podcast. I have a Pinot Noir to drink during that because I'm out of beer and out of whiskey, which is a sad day in the Mercules household.
That is a very sad day. I have a selection of beers tonight. Unfortunately, I can't pass them through the screen to you. But I'll be sure
If this were Star Trek, I would have a replicator.
Yes.
And I could just make the beer next to me. That's the utopia that we really want to live
in. That's the dream.
That's where we're working towards.
3D printed beer. Right.
The last review. So the last review, first off, it's from Ryan, who goes by Crimson Taunt. And Ryan, I want to say straight up, I read your entire review, the entire suggestion. I will say that I'm going to read out the review part of it. I'm not going to read out the suggestion part of it because your suggestion is exactly a suggestion I made 2 years ago and wrote an article that's like, you know, a very, very long, very in-depth article about exactly how the suggestion would work and posted it to Reddit. And there are hundreds of comments on it. So he's asking for, and I'll talk about it at least at the end. But so basically he says, 5 stars, love this show. These guys know their stuff. And I spend a lot of time going over the information presented. And then he goes, that being said, I'd really like to know people's opinions on a crazy idea to fix the issue with sunsetting. And then he goes on to basically word for word and point for point talk about the idea that I had 2 years ago of you combine every single weapon that is in an archetype basically into a frame. And then you make all the different styles of that weapon into ornaments. And then you make all the perks as mods that you could attach to the weapon, right?
Yeah.
So that's basically the gist of his idea. So, Ryan, I'm telling you, man, like it's literally word for word. Like go back and read my article. I think it's called Massive Breakdown of a Way to Make Mods Meaningful, Rewards Exciting, and the Chase Fun Again, is what it was called. And it's got like 2,000 upvotes, almost 3,000 upvotes on Reddit, and hundreds of comments. So if you want some more ideas about how people think about that idea, then go read that article, because the long story short is that almost universally everyone was like, hell yeah, that'd be a great idea, right? Unfortunately, that was before I had gone to Bungie, and I actually pitched that style of idea at Bungie, and the work needed to make it happen and the change that it would have on the ecosystem and the way Chase works, like the way going after perks and guns and stuff works in Destiny is like a total and complete departure from what we have right now. And so the chances of it happening anytime in the near future, I think, are very, very slim. But, you know, he also says at the end, if I was looking to get more input from the community on ideas like this, where do you recommend going? Number one, I recommend going to Reddit. Unfortunately, it's not as good now as it used to be. Number two, I recommend coming to our Discord, because you are always more than welcome to post anything like this in the Discord.
Yeah.
And there are many people in the Discord who are as smart or smarter than Kutch and I, who will break down the idea, tell you where you're right, tell you where you're wrong, tell you why both of those things. So if you want to post anything like that in the Discord, you are more than welcome. So I would highly recommend that you come there.
Yeah, we have a whole channel for that kind of stuff. I always love just kind of scrolling that channel and seeing what people are sharing, what people are talking about, because it's always super informative to get a pulse on what a lot of people whose opinions I really respect are talking about and thinking about. So I would love to see more contributions there. So by all means, jump in. And thank you as well for the review. Really appreciate that.
So that was all the reviews. I feel like that's the most reviews we've had in a hot second on the podcast, because that was a lot of reviews.
It was nice.
It is nice. I do appreciate it. I appreciate it a whole lot.
Well, we've got a week at Bungie here to talk about.
Yeah, and it is quite a week. This was out of nowhere. I didn't think they were going to be talking about sandbox changes this quickly. It seemingly just showed up. But more importantly, they started talking about stability and the differences between mouse and keyboard and controller stability. So the long story short is the dev team says this: in preparation for crossplay coming later this year, we're making some changes to the recoil stat. What to me this means is that, you know, in preparation for mouse and keyboard and controller playing together.
Yeah.
Immediately a little bit of like a yellow flag, like a caution flag for me, because I was really hoping that crossplay between PC and console was going to be optional and like not forced, because I have no interest in playing against people who are in the PC ecosystem, mostly because there's cheaters, right? And I very, very much like the fact that I don't have to deal with that on Xbox. So I'm reading too much into this, and I'm hoping that there is not going to be forced crossplay between console and PC, because I would love to play raids and stuff with my PC buddies. I really don't have any interest in playing trials with the PC trials population.
Yeah, I think that would be a net major harm to a community that already is not necessarily the healthiest. That would be...
At this point, the PvP community is already almost dead just from like flat out neglect. Like they've been locked in the closet and shut in there for over 12 months at this point, and they've been given like a little hamster bottle to drink water out of, and then like some scraps of lettuce thrown in there once in a while. And like that's pretty much the PvP community at this point in time is as close as they've ever been to being on life support.
I would really love a hamster bottle like that. I have a camel back now because...
Yeah.
You know, I'm a professional outdoor adventurer, and it's actually not dissimilar, I imagine, to what drinking out of a hamster bottle would be like.
So you're prepared for Bungie to neglect you. You are a survivalist, so you expect them to neglect you, and so you are prepared for that. You've got quest bars and snacks, trail mix.
I'm set. I've got electrolyte packets. I can just crush those, just chew them up raw. We can do this. I can sit at my computer and never leave this room.
That's why we're still here talking about Destiny 2 Crucible after all this time, right? It's because we're prepared for this. I don't have any of that, but I have alcohol.
Hey.
Which is almost as good.
Same difference. So what they say, right, is a bunch of weapons have their recoil reduced by 40%, and they are changing that.
Yeah. So right now, that is the difference. So now they've numerically given us a difference. Like, we've always known that mouse and keyboard has far less recoil.
Yep.
Than controller does. Mouse and keyboard, we now know, has 40% less recoil than controller does. Now, I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, well, you know, mouse and keyboard, it doesn't have aim assist and stuff like that. We should clarify before we go any further, because this is 100% going to come up. Mouse and keyboard actually has more bullet magnetism than controller does. The thing that mouse and keyboard does not have is reticle friction or reticle stickiness, right? So reticle friction is when you're swinging your aimer over someone's head, it starts to slow down as it nears their head. And then when it's on target, your sensitivity is basically dramatically slowed, right? And then if the target moves, it actually sticks to the target a little bit, right? So reticle friction, reticle stickiness, those two things mouse and keyboard does not have, literally has zero of, controller has. Bullet magnetism, the third aspect of aim assist, mouse and keyboard actually has more bullet magnetism than controller does. I'm not sure why. I don't know that they've ever explained why that is. But if you look at the aim assist circle sizes on mouse and keyboard, they're much larger. They're basically maxed out on mouse and keyboard. And then on controller, they're quite variable, right? So that's something that we need to talk about. So what's happening is they are basically cutting the difference in stability between mouse and keyboard and controller in half. So now stuff, auto rifle, scout rifle, pulse rifle, submachine gun, hand cannon, machine gun, they're only going to have a 20% reduction in stability compared to 40%. What this is basically a nerf to stability on mouse and keyboard. They did say in three weapons cases, pulse rifle, submachine gun, and machine gun, they are going to reduce the camera movement, not necessarily the stability itself, the camera movement, by varying degrees. 9.5% on machine guns, 7% on pulse rifles, 24% on submachine guns. So what's really interesting about that is this is the first time I think they've acknowledged that camera movement is a separate function of stability.
Yeah.
And that's great, because something that Monks has posited for a long time was that Zen Moment, the perk, actually does nothing for your stability. It reduces your camera movement. That's what Zen Moment does. And this is actually an interesting confirmation that it is possible to differentiate those two things out, to increase or decrease stability, but increase your camera movement stability, and have those two things kind of counteract each other. So that's interesting. That's actually like a confirmation that what Monks was saying was correct, that Zen Moment only reduces your camera movement and doesn't actually do anything for your stability. And now what they're saying is they're going to do is they're going to, you know, decrease the stability, but they're going to make it to where your camera doesn't move as much. And they claim in this that it's actually going to be, I'm confused how they say this, but they say in some cases, these weapons will have less recoil across both controller and mouse and keyboard compared to what's in the game today. So they seem to think that just the change to camera movement is enough to functionally make it seem like there's actually better recoil than what there is right now.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see exactly. We may just have to playtest and see what weapons they're talking about. Certainly, I am hoping that they may be referring... Well, I don't know if I'm hoping or not. I'm wondering if they may be referring to some submachine guns where right now, on controller, the recoil makes them... I guess I want to say unplayable. Difficult enough to play that it's generally not worth your time to try. And there are certainly some machine guns that kick extremely hard as well. The rapid fires can be very, very difficult to keep on target. So I'm wondering if we'll see some of those weapons end up being more controllable under this model where the camera moves less, even if the stability is worse on PC.
It is an interesting idea that may be possible. What are your thoughts overall on the changes that they're making?
Well, so I'm happy to hear about crossplay coming in general. I think that's going to be a huge boon for the community. As far as this buff, this nerf to stability on PC, I can understand why people would be upset about it. But, I don't feel like it should be a surprise, right? I think the takeaway here is that crossplay is coming, and you had to expect that there were going to be some changes to the way things work in order to try to get consoles and PC to mesh in some kind of reasonable way. I guess I'm kind of ambivalent, to be honest. I
I'm of the opinion that I wish it had gone the other way around, like most people. I wish that they had just brought controller down some amount to be closer to mouse and keyboard. However, that being said, a huge majority of players in this game play controller.
Yeah.
Huge majority, because everybody on console plays controller. There's two consoles, there's just PC. And then I'd probably say that there's probably 50% of people who play on PC also play on controller. Right? Like, there is a very small minority of players who plays mouse and keyboard. The fact of the matter is that for mouse and keyboard players, stability was nearly a useless stat, right? Like, there were very few times where mouse and keyboard players had to make a conscientious effort to choose a stability perk, almost ever. It made a difference, but the difference was minute for most players, and most players with mouse and keyboard ended up therefore almost ignoring the stability stat, which you cannot do on controller.
Yeah.
So I understand why they made the change, because they're basically saying to mouse and keyboard players, like, you guys need to now, you can get back to where you are right now stability wise if you want to, but you're going to need to prioritize the stability stat in order to do so, right? You can't just throw everything into range or everything into handling. So I understand why they did it. But at the same time, like, kind of wish that we weren't in this position to begin with.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess the way I look at it is that they have been, their priority has always been balancing around controller, because they've been building primarily for console. And so controller is sort of their baseline, like, this is the experience we intend to provide. Whether or not you think that experience is ideal, obviously, we've had a lot to say in the past about our thoughts on where it is ideal and where it is pretty far from ideal. As far as this change, to me, this just feels like them trying to bring things closer to their intended experience for everyone. It was probably something that wasn't a big deal when crossplay wasn't really on the table, and so there was little reason to do it then. But now, obviously, if they're thinking fall 2021 or winter 2021, crossplay is going to be happening, this is the time to do this, right? Give people 6 to 9 months to farm different roles if they need to, you know, get this sting out of the way early, because it was going to be there was going to be a change in here that, you know, that made somebody unhappy probably. Would I love to have just all of my guns be super stable? Sure, yeah, that'd be great. But that said, I have a lot of weapons that are extremely playable right now, and I guess if we have to inconvenience somebody, some sector of the population, I'm really sorry, mouse and keyboard players, but you just don't have the weight here, so that's where I kind of fall on it.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, if it were up to me, like, you know, there are things I talk about completely removing from first-person shooters, right? Like, flinch is one of those things.
Yeah.
Like, I think flinch is an awful mechanic, and I think flinch should be done away with in Destiny entirely. Stability is, like, the next thing on that list, right? Like, if it were up to me, I just wouldn't even deal with recoil patterns at all. Like, every gun would just shoot, you know, straight, and it wouldn't have recoil patterns, and, like, range would be something you can modify, and, like, that's just, like, flat out what it is, right? Like, I think stability is, for the most part, you telling players, like, if you don't put your stats here, your gun is going to feel bad, right? And I don't necessarily like that type of motivation for a player, right? Because it's not even necessarily that, like, you put stuff into stability and your gun feels better. It's that if you don't put stuff into stability, your gun feels bad, right? Whereas, you know, what I think they could have done is maybe they could have squeezed it a little bit on both ends, like, buffed stability on controller a little bit, and then nerfed stability on mouse and keyboard a little bit, right? Like, a 10% buff for a controller and a 10% nerf for mouse and keyboard, instead of a 20% nerf for mouse and keyboard and very little changes to most archetypes for a controller, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna wait to say too much more on this until we kind of see what archetypes are affected when they say that removing the camera shake has helped them significantly. You know, if there are some pulse rifles in that category, I may be super happy about this change, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's not like it's going to hurt controller players at all.
They've made like rapid fire or adaptive pulse rifles feel super good, I could get a little bit excited about this change. And, you know, I'll still feel bad that it kind of sucks for another chunk of players, but ultimately that's how it is, right? You make somebody happy, you make somebody else unhappy. So.
Well, and the issue is that, you know, with Zen Moment right now, like I struggle to feel that Zen Moment is an effective perk, and Zen Moment is a perk that changes the camera movement, right? So it's like if I can barely notice when Zen Moment is active, and Zen Moment's a perk that does it, I would assume that Zen Moment at multiple stacks is more than like 10% reduction in camera movement. And if I can't notice that, then the 7% reduction in camera movement that I'm getting from this buff is probably going to be meaningless, right? Like, I probably won't even notice it. So that's kind of where I'm leaning here, is that to me, it feels like as a controller player, my experience will be no worse, may potentially be a little bit better. But I am kind of bummed out that that has to come at the cost of, you know, I think universally, if you would ask players, what should we do about stability? Almost across the board, players would have said, move controller stability closer to mouse and keyboard.
Sure.
Doesn't need to be the same, right? Because obviously having reticle friction and reticle stickiness is a very significant positive, right? But it doesn't need to be the same. But I think across the board, players would have said that. And in fact, when you look at it, if you look at D1 weapons compared to D2 weapons, D1 controller weapons have a lot more stability than D2 controller weapons do. So really, they could have just even put the D2 weapons back closer to how they were in D1.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody would have been upset with that. But then you come into the issue of, well, mouse and keyboard doesn't care about stability. And to me, my opinion on that is, well, it's because, you know, it's because stability is kind of like a carrot or a stick type thing, right? Like, if you care about stability, it's because your gun feels bad without it. Right, as opposed to your gun is good, and then if you add something to it, it gets better. Like, that's what perks are supposed to be, right? Your gun is good on its own, and if you add this perk to it, then it gets better in a certain way. With stability, it's the opposite. It's your gun is bad, and if you don't focus on stability, it's unusable, right? Like, that's what SMGs are at this point, is it's like SMGs are bad, and if you don't focus on stability, they're unusable. And now, hopefully, they'll supposedly be better with this camera change thing. But you know, that's my concern, is that what we're doing to mouse and keyboard right now? We're basically saying, hey, you guys really enjoyed how all your weapons felt, and you basically ignored stability. Like, that's the downside, is they ignored stability. Now, sure, your guns are going to feel worse unless you focus on stability. And to me, that's a weird way to try to motivate a player.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. I do. I don't disagree with you at all on any point. Maybe it's because I play on controller on both PC and console. But I'm just, it's hard for me to get too worked up about this.
Yeah, and I mean, they're still going to be more stable than controller by 20%, yeah, right? Like,
it's still going to be pretty still, stable.
People are looking at the numbers and they're thinking, like, what's going to happen is, like, you're going to be dragging your mouse down your desk to, like, try to control weapons. Like, I highly doubt that it's that bad. Like, I think it will probably still be fine, right? And we'll have to see how it plays out, but I bet when they do the testing in game, it's going to turn out to be not as big of a nerf as it sounds like it is on paper.
Yeah,
like 20% sounds like a huge change, but I bet in actuality, because think about it, their nerf or their change is 40% right now, but when you know that, it's just I don't need to go on and on about it, but I bet it won't be as big in practice as it sounds like it's going to be.
So, like, for me, just I was using an SMG in PvE on PC earlier today. And it, like, I'm hitting targets, like hitting crits on dregs at distances that I wouldn't even try to fire it at on console. Like, I wouldn't even have been shooting at them because I wouldn't have been able to hit them at all. And so if that's what 40% does, then going to half of that, to where maybe it's really hard to hit those crits at those distances, but still possible, as opposed to fairly easy. I mean, I that, I guess that's kind of where I'm coming from in this, right? I'm thinking that these guns are going to feel closer together. Sure, I would love to have just had submachine guns on console, not be hot garbage on a stick. But, you know, I feel like this is not a huge loss for PC. And I am hopeful that, I'm just going to stay hopeful that some of the changes that they're making will make submachine guns and pulse rifles feel better enough on console.
So you're basically saying that on PC they're so stable that they're functioning like way outside what they're given, like parameters are supposed to be. Like submachine guns are able to just like, you know, do way more than you would expect a submachine gun because they're so stable.
Oh yeah.
And now they might just be like more like an actual submachine gun, whereas on controller they're, you know, you can't even use them as a submachine gun controller. So it'll probably be a little bit of both, where it's like they're a little bit better on controller and they're not quite so ridiculous on mouse and keyboard.
That's what I'm hoping for, right? Like, not having actually seen these changes in a video or in game, it's really hard for me to just to say, yeah, this is a bad change, or yeah, this is a good change. And I'm specifically looking at those weapons. I think for something like a hand cannon, this is not going to be a big deal. Hand cannons were stupidly stable on PC, are stupidly stable on PC. Auto rifles, this might hurt a little bit on auto rifles, but auto rifles aren't really meta anyway.
Yeah, nobody's using auto rifles on PC because you have hand cannons.
Scout rifles, I can't imagine that this will matter.
It won't.
And then the other three, they are reducing camera shake on, so we'll have to see like if that means something or not. And since we just really can't know how much that may or may not mean, that's kind of where I'm coming from on this, right? Like, I totally get why somebody who exclusively plays mouse and keyboard is like, this is a bad change. I totally understand that. But coming from the console side, from the controller side, having played on both and seen how big a difference it is, I guess I'm just feeling like, okay, that's fine. Like, I can live with that and I'm ready to move on.
So I guess, you know, my conclusion for this would be, it wasn't what I would have done or what I would have hoped for, but I am finding it difficult to get tremendously worked up because I think for, you know, I don't think it's as big of a deal as people are expecting. I think for a majority of players, it's going to end up being a net positive. And for the players it does affect, it's not going to be as big of a deal as they think. Is it what I would have done? No.
Right.
100%. But at the same time, I'm not looking at it on paper and being like, they've ruined the game. Flip the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, just like my example earlier, like that was a submachine gun. I don't even know if it had a stability perk on it. Like, straight up didn't even look.
Which is exactly the point that they're probably trying like, to do, is like, you don't even care.
It was Aikolos. It was in my vault. I wanted to make Warmind cells, so I grabbed it.
Alright. Well, yeah, that's the biggest thing that they did. There are a couple of other things that they did, but now, you know, they, very kindly, they divided it up into buffs and nerfs for us. So, moving on to buffs that are just flat-out buffs. They said rocket launchers have fallen behind other heavy weapons in most measures of effectiveness.
You think?
Obviously, yeah. So this is a big buff. They're increasing rocket launcher damage by 30%. This is, remember that they increased their inventory as well last season, right? So now you've got an extra rocket and you're doing 30% more damage. They did say, caution, you know, exotic rocket launchers were changed on a point-by-point basis. They didn't give us the numbers for those, but they might not all do 30% more, because you got to think something like, you know, two-tailed fox,
yeah,
30% and it has double rockets. Like, that could be a significant buff, right? So, you know, I'm very happy to see that. Rocket launchers for so long have been ridiculously ineffective and in everything, right? In PvE and PvP.
Except for the perennial, undying, eternal Ward Cliff Coil, which is, yes, always way too strong.
So here's my thing. So if you've increased rocket launcher damage by 30%, and that's across the board, they do 300 damage in PvP. That means they could be doing close to 400 damage in PvP if that 30% holds true. If that does, it means that they will be able to kill some roaming supers, the ones that have 50% or less damage resistance, which is not a lot, and it's certainly not Behemoth.
Yeah.
But they will be able to kill some roaming supers, which to me would be huge, huge, because they're useless against roaming supers right now.
I mean, they're borderline useless in general right now.
I still use a rocket launcher as my heavy in PvP.
But what percentage of your total kills is it?
Oh, man. Honestly?
It's pretty small.
Low.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I have 15,000 kills in Crucible this season, and I'd be willing to bet that less than 500 of them are with a rocket launcher.
Yeah. The way rocket launchers have been in PvP, in my view, is that, like, unless you screw up, you're going to kill one unsupered Guardian.
Yeah.
That's...
if you're lucky.
You know, if you get super lucky, two people are going to stand next to each other, and you can probably finish the other guy off with your primary if the splash damage fails to kill him, which, you know, 50-50 on that.
The only reason I use rocket launchers is because it's pick up the ammo, use the ammo, done with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much what it is. It's for me to grab the ammo and be done with the ammo and then, like, move on playing the game. Like, that's pretty much the reason I use it. So, but I'm happy to see this buff. Rocket launchers deserve it. It's been a long time coming. There are other heavies that I would also like to see buffed. I mean, linear fusion rifles, do they still exist, right? Does anybody remember that they're still there?
Nope.
You know, because they've... yeah, let's just, at this point, Bungie, just move to the special. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, give us the bounty. Just move to the special.
They really just need to be special weapons.
They're worse than sniper rifles, but they're in the heavy slots. So, speaking of special slots, this just a total surprise out of the blue absolutely tickles my fancy. Fusion rifles. Increased fusion rifle damage fall off start distance based on range stat. 6% increase with zero range. 16% increase with 100 range. In gameplay, that's going to be about 1 meter to 2 meters additional. I mean, it could be more than that. I mean, if you're at like an Arentol, that might be like 3.5 meters, right? Because Arentols, I think, is it like 20 is where it can start getting the damage fall off starts a little bit before that, but I think at 20 can still pretty reliably get a kill. So, you know, 15% of 20, that's, you know, 3 meters. That's not bad. Like I'm actually surprised to see that. I'm a fusion rifle aficionado, and I'm actually surprised to see this buff for them. Because people hate fusion rifles right now and they suck. And it's like, you know,
which is just, I don't even understand. Like, somebody complaining about Glaciochasm, it's like, look, like, there's like the number of people who are good enough to go on runs with that gun. It's very small.
Less than 1% of the population.
And all you have to do to counterplay them is, like, not float through the air or run in straight lines. I mean,
asking Destiny players to not run in straight lines is like, yeah.
That's a meme in and of itself. Anyway.
Does this go to Bastion as well? Does Bastion count as this? Because if it does, I cannot tell you how much joy it's going to bring me.
So I'm going to say, I think it's a likely yes, because they specifically called out that exotic rocket launchers had been adjusted individually. They have made no such statement for the fusion rifles, like, 3 bullet points later. So I'm thinking this is everything.
I'm actually a little concerned about this. Reason being, we, for so long, the only fusion rifles that have mattered have been exotics and high impacts, right? Nothing else has mattered. I would have thought, and exotics and high impacts right now are still capable enough, right? In the hands of a great player, a Bastion or a Glaciochasm is a force to be reckoned with in the hands of a great player, right? The problem has been that every other archetype of fusion rifle is terrible, right? And that in the hands of even an average player, they're nowhere near as effective as shotguns are. What concerns me about this buff is that it makes the already strong fusion rifle stronger and does nothing to help the lower tier fusion rifles, which are still going to see no usage. And all you've done is take Glaciochasm, which is already strong, and just make it stronger.
I think Bungie, I feel like, has always had that same issue with balancing fusion rifles, where they don't quite seem to know what to do with all of the other archetypes that they made. And so it's always, because it's kind of always been like either a favorable recoil pattern or just minimizing your bolts to kill. Like, those are the two things that really matter on a fusion rifle. And given a recoil pattern that is, you know, easy enough to control, then it's fewest bolts to kill. Because any good player is always going to pre-charge, so they're never going to be using that full charge time. And they just don't seem to have any ideas on how to make those faster charging fusion rifles more effective. And maybe that's because they shouldn't have made them. I don't know. I sort of feel like they shouldn't have made all these archetypes for fusion rifles. I feel like that about a lot of guns.
There's a lot of archetype bloat, and fusion rifles in particular are bad. One of the things that I will point out that's going to be interesting about this is that precision fusion rifles actually on average have higher base range than a lot of the high impact ones do.
Yeah.
So if this is going based on the range stat, which it is because I said that, precision fusion rifles will actually benefit the most from this change. And I know that there are a decent amount of players out there right now who actually think that precision fusion rifles are the strongest fusion rifle class right now because they're still relatively easy to land 5 bolts, which you need for a kill, and because the charge time is faster than the high impacts. So that will be something to keep an eye on. I would love to see if, you know, Hollow Worlds or the main ingredient actually becomes good this upcoming season, or potentially better than like a Glacio Chasm. But that being said, my biggest concern is that fusion rifles right now, in my hands, I feel like they're strong enough and I don't really struggle with them, right? I am worried that this buff to fusion rifles will push usage numbers up enough to where the people complaining, like right now people complain about fusion rifles and we kind of like laugh them out the door, right? Because it's like, you're complaining in something that less than 1% of the population uses, like stop crying about it, right?
Yeah.
I'm concerned that at the higher end, good players are already oppressive with fusion rifles. Now they're going to have that much more strength and the usage numbers will go up enough to where now people complaining about fusion rifles, it might not necessarily be, oh, only 1% of the population is using them. Like what I'm actually worried about is that this buff gives the community the ammo they need to point at the usage numbers and say, see, they need to be nerfed. And I'm worried that this buff will actually lead to a following nerf that puts them below where they are right now. Because that would be so stereotypically Bungie, wouldn't it?
I've always laughed at that argument. Because I'm just like, but shotguns. I know everyone loves shotguns. And by everyone, I just mean like 85% of Destiny players just love using shotguns in PvP. Because they're easy. And they're very effective once you get close enough. I would be kind of excited to play a season where shotguns were sort of replaced with fusion rifles. Just for like 3 months or so, I feel like you could have some really fun, interesting duels. I think you will
have some very angry apes.
I don't think anyone agrees with me. And, you know, it's too bad. It's just too bad. Fusion rifles always get blamed. And part of it really is, I think, because the good ones, Bungie sort of ends up making maybe too good, while the bad ones are still horrendous.
Well, you know, what we've seen is, like, we've had two instances where we've had one instance where a fusion rifle was legitimately almost meta, and it was Telesto at its strongest, and it still wasn't even used more than the two most popular shotguns were.
Yeah.
Right? That's the closest a fusion rifle in D2 has ever come to being meta. Second closest was Arentol with Firmly Planted, and that one was not even in the top 10 most used guns and still ended up getting all fusion rifles nerfed, right? So that's where my concern comes from, is that we have twice now seen fusion rifles not even be the most used weapon and still get nerfed. And so I'm kind of worried that, like, what's going to happen is they buff fusion rifles. A lot of people start using fusion rifles a lot, I say in air quotes, which you can't see on the podcast, but I'm doing it. And then they get nerfed and they end up being worse than they are at this current point in time, which is frustrating for me because right now, like, I feel like Glacio Chasm and Bastion are fine. That's my fear. It may be irrational. I think we'll see it probably play out like that, though. Like, it would not surprise me at all to see it play out like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems likely. It's the perpetual fate of fusion rifles. Any buff can only be followed by a nerf. Well, we've also got breach grenade launcher usage outside of Mountaintop is very low. We believe part of the reason is that the loop of hold the trigger to arm, then release to detonate is challenging to execute, particularly since projectiles can bounce off targets if the trigger is held. I think if you took that sentence out of context and said, does this sound like it's hard to do? Most people would say it's not. But that said, it can be hard to do it right. So the change here is breach, grenade launcher, projectiles will now detonate on impact with a character, even if holding the trigger.
So now, correct me if I'm wrong, right now if you do not hold the trigger and you fire it and it hits someone, it detonates, right?
Yes, but it could also detonate on a wall or another object in many cases.
Right, but when it impacts something, it detonates if you're not holding the trigger,
yes.
Correct? Okay, so maybe I'm playing breach grenade launchers wrong, but because they don't do enough airburst damage to kill someone, I have never, maybe the first couple times I use them, I have not ever used the like hold trigger to detonate functionality, and I have always gone for direct hits or impact damage.
So what you should be doing is aiming to bounce them around corners and get instant kills by hitting someone that you can't see in every case.
That's the only way you should ever use
that's
them.
That's the only way.
So I know people are like, oh my God, this is going to make breach grenade launchers usage go through the roof. But is it though? Is it? Because I feel like a lot of players were using them as a direct hit weapon where they were just shooting it at you and either trying to get the direct hit or trying to get the impact blast near you.
100%.
Like, I don't feel like a lot of players were I've seen some do it, and I have actually been killed around corners by someone bouncing a grenade at me when I was wounded hiding behind a corner. I don't feel like that's going to change at all.
Yeah.
Right?
That will just work slightly better.
Yeah, like I think this will help a lot in PvE where people maybe are trying to do that type of stuff. I think this will be nice, but I don't think that this is going to be the thing that like pushes breach action grenade launcher usage through the roof.
No.
I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to. So I'm not particularly upset about that one.
I'm
going to
go on the record and say it will not. If you couldn't hit someone with it before, this is not going to then let you do that. So I'm really not worried about it.
Yeah, the only thing it is a timing change where it's like, if you could hit someone, but you couldn't pull your finger off the trigger fast enough, but I'm not worried about that. So moving on, nerfs. This is pretty fun. While sniper rifle usage has dropped in the Crucible, we've observed that it is hard to challenge someone with a sniper rifle, even if you get the first shot on an enemy. They often respond and win the fight, so we have increased ADS flinch to snipers when taking damage from other players. My only concern is that right now the way sniper flinch works is if you are aiming at their head and they hit you, it will bounce you off of their head and you will miss when you pull the trigger. In that case, flinch is doing what it's supposed to. The problem comes from where if you are near their head but not aiming at their head and you get shot, flinch is going to push you onto their head. That's the way flinch works. I personally believe that it's because it senses reticle movement and then aim assist actually kicks in and guides you to the head. But you know, it is what it is. That's what I personally believe it is. But so my concern is that what if this has the opposite effect and now you can be even further away, and because the flinch is now increased, it will actually bounce you onto their head from even further away. What if this has the opposite effect? Because the fact of the matter is, if you're aiming at their head and you get shot, you will flinch off their head. Like, that's the way flinch will work. The issue comes from the opposite happening, where you're not aiming at their head and you get flinched onto it and it gets the kill. So I want to know, is this actually going to have the intended effect, or is it going to make things worse?
Yeah.
Because if it were me, I would do what I've been preaching for months and months, which is decrease the aim assist on snipers.
Yeah.
Decrease the aim assist on snipers. Decrease the aim assist on snipers. Like, that's what needs to happen.
That seems like the obvious solution. That's what I was going to say as well. It was just like, why increase the flinch when you could just decrease the aim assist, which is actually why they're winning that counter. Or they're just super good. I mean, there are people who are going to win it anyway. But it's already known that flinch on snipers is not always working as intended now. So, I mean, maybe this will flinch you so much that the first shot will take you so far away from their head that you won't get bounced back to it. I don't know. But it does seem like they're missing the actual problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm also concerned that, like, you know, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it to where if you land the first part, the first shot on a sniper, the sniper no longer has a chance of winning that engagement, right? Like, the only way a sniper is going to kill you is if they shoot you first. That's kind of how it was towards the tail end of D1. But at the same time, in D1, because the aim assist was so much less, you know, prevalent, I felt like you could, using skill, actually push through flinch and get a contested headshot with a sniper.
Yeah.
At the tail end of D1, you could not do that because they had increased flinch so much. And what it basically meant was that the only people who were sniping were like either quickscoping or hardscoping corners, and that was really it. Like, there was no ability to be like a sniper that actually was using their skill to get shots under contested conditions. The problem with D2 right now is that you don't have to use your skill to get shots under contested conditions. You just kind of wait until your reticle gets bounced back onto the head. I didn't feel that it was the same way in D1. I feel that it's definitely that way in D2. I'm not sure that this change is the change that's going to fix that. I think it just might make sniping just kind of worse in general. But, you know, they acknowledged that they'd seen sniper usage drop, and this change is going to make it drop even further. So, yeah. You know, if they're okay with those usage numbers.
Yeah, you know, maybe they want less people sniping.
And then they, swords in PvE, got a 15% damage nerf. Somebody ran the numbers in the Discord, and I saw a post on Reddit as well. And it basically comes out to, even with a 15% damage nerf, swords will still be probably one of the best PvE DPS weapons without any perks at all, like not even taking into account perks. So people are up in arms about this, but I really don't think that it's, I think that they're an outlier. Like, they need to hammer that nail down a little bit. Like, I think swords are just so far and above beyond the most DPS efficient weapons that I think this is just going to bring them down to be still the best weapon, but like not head and shoulders above everything else.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. Falling Guillotine has had its day. It's had its year, basically. I'm good with it.
Yeah. And then, just to wrap all this stuff up, they fixed some bugs. Some exotic weapons would lose their buffs when you switched weapons, which is intended. But on accident, they would lose their buffs when you pulled out your Ghost Shell. So they fixed that on Ace of Spades, Turaba, and Hawkmoon. Borealis and Hardlight, they gave them a quite short animation for switching damage type, probably similar to Symmetry. Right, where Symmetry, you just like tap the bottom and it goes into Revolution, right, which is pretty nice. Duality, a massive buff for Duality. They increase the damage fall off distance by 1.25 meters, both hip fire and ADS, and that's just huge. Like, that's a massive buff. You already love Duality. Duality is going to be disgustingly good now.
It's glorious. Yeah, I hope everyone took my advice and took it out for a spin, because you're going to be seeing a lot of it real soon.
Yeah, that puts it like on par with, I believe that puts it on par with some of the best shotguns in the game. Like, that's pretty amazing.
I would argue it was already among, and just in terms of its one-hit kill distance and its versatility, I would put it on any top 10 list of shotguns in Destiny 2. It definitely belongs there now.
Yeah, so that's going to be a big one. And then two other bugs that they fixed. They fixed the bug where Sturm was not reloading any equipped special weapon on a kill. And there's also an issue that Merciless was not increasing its rate of fire on non-lethal hits, and that has been fixed. And then they also mentioned that they're going to be taking a balance pass at Arbalest sometime in Season 13, but they don't know when exactly yet. That is much needed. And then on Twitter, they also said that they are looking at 3-peaking, but 3-peaking is an extremely complicated issue and that they are not quite sure how to deal with it yet.
I think it's just a great sign for the PvP community that they even acknowledged it and that they have said we're working on it. I mean, 3-peaking is something people have been complaining about and arguing about for what, years? It's been years. They're paying attention. It's taken a long time, but they are finally like, okay, we need to deal with this.
I mean, I sympathize with them. It's got to be an extraordinarily complicated fix. I mean, you know, I don't know that they have the capability to disable things in certain game modes, but like it might get to the point where they just have to disable emotes and swords and trials, like just flat out. Like that's what they have to do. Because any other fix to me, just like every fix I can think of in my head, just comes off as sounding extraordinarily complex to do.
I mean, we know that they can disable weapons in trials because they've done that before. Whether or not they can do that to emotes, I don't know. They've never done that.
Yeah, they just disabled emotes in general across the entire game.
Yeah, but in a specific mode, I would hope that they could, and that would certainly be the simplest, most direct solution to the problem. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess if we were to summarize the sandbox changes and what we think of them, there's a lot of, I wouldn't have done that. I don't think it's going to destroy the game, but there's a lot of changes that it's like, that's not what I would have done in this circumstance. There's some stuff that I think is good. I think the changes to rocket launchers and changes to swords in general, I believe are good. I think, you know, the changes to stability, the changes to grenade launchers, snipers, even fusion rifles to a certain extent, I'm like, probably not what I would have done. I don't think they're going to destroy the game. I'm just worried about the long-term effects that it may or may not have. Like you said, sniper rifle usage was already low. It's going to get lower. Breach grenade launchers, nobody actually really wants to see those be meta. Like, nobody wants them to be better.
Yeah.
Fusion rifles, I'm a little bit concerned about how strong they may end up being after this, right? Like, stability is just going to feel worse for mouse and keyboard. Like, there's a lot of stuff on here that it's like, I don't really think that these changes were necessary. And yet they happened. So, I mean, as always, we're going to have to wait to see how it plays. I am not in the burn it all to the ground mentality. I am not in the I think the game is ruined. I think that a lot of the reaction to these, to the sandbox pass, has been wildly out of whack, or like out of line with what they actually changed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not like, oh boy, this is a smash hit, like home run, guys, you knocked it out of the park. I don't feel like that either. So
yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well right there.
How dare we not be enraged, or also not be saying that this is the best thing ever? Like, you know, I want to be excited about the stuff. Like, personally, me, selfishly, I'm excited about some of the changes because, like, the stability changes are going to make my experience on controller better or not change it at all. The rocket launcher changes are going to make my experience better. The fusion rifle changes are going to make my experience better. Sniper rifle nerfs are going to make my experience better. Like, selfishly, a lot of these changes are going to be very, very beneficial for me, like, as a player, which I think is really, really funny. Like, you know, if you had to make me list a bunch of a bunch of buffs and nerfs that I would dole out specifically to improve only my experience, then it would read very similar to these patch notes. Like, buff pulse rifles, buff rocket launchers, buff fusion rifles, nerf sniper rifles. Like, it's actually pretty funny, but yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that I feel super strongly about most of this. I am obviously thrilled to see Duality get a buff sort of out of the blue. Like, it was already quite good. Maybe they felt that not enough people used a seasonal exotic, and they were like, oh, we should, like, remind people that it's there by making it, like, stupendously good, which I really feel like 1.25 meters on most guns is like, okay, that's, like, that's something. It's not huge. On a shotgun, it's like, oh, dang. Like, that makes a major difference. So I'm thrilled about that. The rest of it, I'm very much like you said, you know, not a lot of it, not what I would have done, but
is what it is.
Also not anything to get super worked up about.
All right, guys. Well, that is it. We are almost finishing up almost exactly at an hour. That is it for episode 195. We will see you guys again on, I guess we will record on Thursday this week. See you on Friday. But in the meantime, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to hop right back in here with a Star Wars IRL. Oh, you need to change the name of the IRL cast. At this point, it's not even an IRL cast. It's just a Star Wars cast. We need to throw some suggestions for Star Wars based names, but we're going to do a Star Wars, A New Hope podcast. So hopefully I'll put both of these out in quick succession and you guys can listen to them back to back.
But that'd be awesome.
Otherwise, you know, stick around and we'll see you later in the week. Bye.
Peace.